This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
That's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So, yeah, the superintendent of public instruction is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, right after Ursula's 1:30 news, and we will hash out this proposal for a capital gains tax, which is absolutely unconstitutional in Washington. And I know, understand from Hannah Scott's interview with him that he disputes that, but I'm right on this. So, but
hey, let's give him credit too. He's coming on the show.
I know. That's 2 in 2 days. It's become the destination for the cognoscenti or whatever it's called. Okay, let's get to this fastest 15. So when I was a wee little tot growing up on the mean streets of Ballard, we had down on Market Street, there was a little slot car track place. Mm-hmm. There was an SH Cress, which was a dime store. Had one of those old-fashioned lunch counters where you could get those burgers.
So for anyone who doesn't know where Market Street, that's like right through the heart of
that's
Ballard.
That is Ballard. That's the main east-west thoroughfare. Goes right there to Golden Gardens, to the Ballard Locks, and then to Golden Gardens. So, and at that SH Cress, once in a while, my Aunt Sissy, my mom couldn't afford it, but my Aunt Sissy once in a while would take me for a burger and a milkshake. And do you remember those? Did you ever get the milkshakes at the old lunch counter?
Oh, yeah.
The thing about them was they made them in those, kind of metal tins.
Yeah.
And they always made a little bit more than what would go in the glass.
I love places that still do that and give you that little extra.
It's a little bonus shake. Yeah. And you always felt like you were getting away with something. And they never cleaned those flat tops that they cooked the burgers on. And that made the burgers extra good.
Oh, yeah.
And then right next to, if you're moving west on Market Street... I don't know why I'm going through all this. There was a JCPenney store because Penny's had these little tiny stores back then. And there was an upstairs and a downstairs, and that's where I'd sit around while my mom would try on dresses she couldn't afford. So I thought about that when I heard the news that the big JCPenney store at Northgate Mall is going to close next year. They just made that announcement. It's one of its longest time department store retailers. And then when you get to Northgate, if I can continue to travel down memory lane. Also, when I was a little tiny kid, Northgate was open air. It was not covered, that mall. And so that was a big deal because it became, I think, one of the first covered malls in the country.
Right.
And then JCPenney was one of the anchor stores there. And that's going bye-bye now. Everything's going away.
It's such a bummer. Although we were just talking yesterday about all of the hockey stuff that would be going into Northgate Mall. But I still shop Northgate. I love going in there. But there are just fewer and fewer stores anymore. And then, like I think I mentioned already, that JCPenney and Macy's during the weekdays closes an hour early. Half the time I'm looking around going, I am one of the few people still shopping. Yeah.
No, I still shop there because I like to get all my clothes from the Squire shop.
A Squire.
So I still go to Northgate for that. But anyway, so one of the landmark Seattle retail destinations is another thing that's going bye-bye. I saw the animation of all that hockey stuff that's going in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty. It looks cool.
I'm excited.
What are you going to do there?
Well, learn how to ice skate. Why not?
You're not going to learn how to ice skate there.
There are other ice rinks around.
I know, but that's really close to me. It's right next to the gym I belong to. What's so funny?
I don't know. That just strikes me funny. I have no idea why. Go out to Highland Ice Arena.
I just said it. This one's even closer.
Okay, and it's fine. It's all privately funded and malls are dying, so they can do whatever the heck they want. I don't understand. They showed in this animation where the Seattle NHL team is going to practice, and they said it's going to have seating for 400 people. It looked like they had some luxury suite boxes. Are people going to go and watch practices? That seems silly.
Well, why not? Makes it more accessible.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, and here's the other thing.
Probably
parties.
Put random events in there.
Yeah, exactly. Another place to have parties.
I like,
shortage of those.
I like playing that ice hockey. That's always fun. I haven't done that in 45 years. Okay, so anyway, JCPenney's going bye-bye. Next up in the Fastest 15, you played a cut from this earlier, but I loved this mom in the story about the backpacks that were stolen in Morton. Is that Morton's down
Lewis
in
County.
Lewis?
I believe
yeah,
so,
way,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think you're right, yeah. So they had video. They had an external camera at the school, and there were a bunch of junior high and high school kids, and they left their backpacks against the wall of the school because in Morton, you figure you're probably okay.
Population 1,126.
Salt of the earth people, too. And Lewis County is absolute salt of the earth people. I know a bunch of Lewis County people. And so the kids left their backpacks, and then you see this truck pull up, and two guys jump out of the truck, and they just grab all the backpacks they can and throw them in the bed of the pickup, and then they take off, and the Morton police chief, Roger Morningstar, he told our news partners at Cairo 7 that they were looking to pawn, probably to buy drugs, but they didn't say what they wanted the money for.
They were looking for what they could get so they could make some quick cash off of it, and they stated that themselves.
So the suspects saw themselves on TV, saw that the camera got such a good look at the trucks, and they decided, one of them, turned himself in.
Led one to turn himself in and said, you know I did wrong, and my face is everywhere. I just want to turn myself in and get this over with.
Heidi Cooper said that her son's stuff was gone. She thought it was gone for good.
I had just bought him one of the brand new graphing calculators, one of the rechargeable ones. It was like $150. He hadn't even used it yet. I'm a bit. My husband and I both thought that was going to be the end. You know, the stuff was gone. We wouldn't see any of it. They probably wouldn't catch these guys.
And she said she just can't believe that all the crime we have here in the big cities in the Puget Sound area has come down there to Morton.
How low is it to go and prey on some, you know, junior high and high school kids out in the country? Mm-hmm. Stay in the city. Just don't come bother us anymore.
I liked her. Next up in the Fastest 15, we're getting more details on another horrible crime in our region. We told you about this yesterday. A 71-year-old man in Bellingham was just going for a walk in a park on Saturday morning about 10:30, and there was two other people who were attacked, not life-threatening, but then this 70-year-old man was stabbed to death, and we knew that news yesterday. Sean Conley was an eyewitness.
I could tell that the guy had no care in the world. It literally was like in slow motion. He literally was like booting him like that, and then I saw him coming down and just kept on going. And there was people in the intersection stopped yelling at him. There was a car literally right next to him yelling at him. Women, all kinds of people, and he didn't care.
No response.
No response, no remorse, no nothing.
Bellingham Police Lieutenant Claudia Murphy talked about the calls they got from all three attacks.
While officers were responding to both of those assaults, a third call came in. Actually, it was more than a third call. It was just a third incident that a citizen had come across a man lying on the trail. And initially, the thought was that it was a bike accident, but that's not what it was. He was our third victim who unfortunately passed.
And the horrifying details we're getting now is the 71-year-old man who was murdered on that trail in the park. He was stabbed more than 30 times. In the chest, and the 33-year-old guy they've arrested is has drug convictions in other states. It's another example of what we talk about all the time, that we have imported the dregs of the country into our region. Q13 News, those last cuts were from Cairo 7. Q13 News also talked to a Bellingham resident.
Pretty safe. There are the random people that you can tell maybe just like they park in different places or they camp in different places. But other than that, yeah, it's just kind of, it's a little bit shocking.
Yep, we are seeing way too many of these stories. Okay, on a much lighter note, this is always enjoyable. Every year on The Big Show, they have announced the latest nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So let's go through this, and we'll all decide. Sean, you too. We'll decide if these people should actually get in to the Rock Hall. So one of the nominees this year... I'm just going to let this play until she starts singing.
Just like the wild winged sings a song, sounds like she's singing.
Stevie Nicks, already in the Rock Hall as a member of Fleetwood Mac, but now she's being nominated for her solo career. Is Stevie Nicks, Sean Dettori, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer?
You know, she's got some really great tunes, but I think she's in there with Fleetwood Mac, who have a massive amount of hits. She's got several. I'd say Booter.
That's a no. Nicole?
I was going to say yes.
Ursula?
I'm with Nicole. Yes.
Yeah, this is a tough one. She also did Stop Dragging My Heart Around with Tom Petty.
Not many can leave a band and
be
do
successful. Right, exactly.
Paul McCartney did.
I said not many. There are a few.
Dave Grohl? Look what Dave Grohl's done. What do you mean, eh? He was with the most influential... I wasn't a huge Nirvana fan, but one of the most influential bands of his era, and then
Foo great,
Fighters?
But like, by himself? I don't know.
Okay. I'll say yes.
Great.
We're going to put her in. Okay, how about these guys?
Yeah, we like the bomb,
Sorry, I'm way early. But yes.
I don't even know who they are. Who is this?
You'll know.
It's a hearing impaired jungle cat. Does that tell you who it is? Don't cheat. Are you looking at your computer? Don't cheat. It's a hearing impaired jungle cat.
Def Leppard.
Nice. Rock Hall.
I think this song tips them in.
Can't get in on one song. We'd have.
In my world, you can. If I'm making the decision.
Sean?
I'm not super familiar with Def Leppard. I know that they were popular back when I was in sixth grade, and then Nirvana kind of blew everyone out of the water. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, that's a big no for me, too. How about these guys? This is just right smack dab in my UW days here. Earliest days of MTV. Meet the U. Devo! Are they a Rock and Roll Hall worthy band?
I say yes.
Sean?
You know, the only reason I'm going to say yeah is because I have a bowl that I use for chips at my house. Nicole saw it. It looks just like their hats from this video.
Red plastic with the different...
with the different, like, rings around.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a chip bowl that looks like their hats. So I say yes.
So that gets them in?
Yeah. You all saw right. The bowl, right, Nicole?
I wasn't paying attention to the bowl.
Oh,
are there any
the
other
chips.
Hits, though? Besides this one?
Beautiful World? Nah, there. No
yeah,
way.
I was saying no.
No way.
Nah.
Despite Sean's chip bowl.
I was moved by your little
I'm
speech
sorry
there.
That I didn't recognize
how it influenced your UW days.
How many more of these should I roll through? Here's another nominee this year. Todd Rundgren. Nicole Thompson, I begin with you.
I don't even know. No, because I don't know.
Sean?
You know what? I love classic 70s soft rock and rock, and he has a song called Onomatopoeia. How can you not love that? So we're going to go, yeah.
As much as I love the song,
you get out. I understand Nicole being too young. This is a no-brainer.
What?
Todd Rundgren?
I wouldn't even be able to name him, so I'm saying no.
Absolutely in. I can't believe he's not in.
This is even before my time.
I'll tell you something. You know the show that I tipped you off on, Live at Daryl's House?
Yes.
Which isn't on anymore. You go watch the episode where they sing at Todd Rundgren's house in Hawaii. They set up and recorded at Todd Rundgren's in Hawaii. It is...
Okay, what other song, though, besides this one?
There are lots of them. hold on. I do have to Google it, but...
That's the problem.
Bring this up a little bit while I'm Googling.
How about Roxy? Isn't Roxy on this list?
As soon as I pull up the list. Oh! Oh! Sean, will you pull up Todd Rundgren's I Saw the Light?
Oh.
Which is also one of the great songs. That's as good as music gets. I don't know how long it'll take.
Yeah, he's doing that.
Well, you're pulling that up, Sean. Let me give you one other nominee, and then we'll wrap this. Oh, come on.
We could move on to the next one. That one's...
Last night, I was feeling something wasn't right.
The other thing about Todd Rundgren, he was one of the first, along with David Bowie, one of the first gender benders. I used to watch him on the Midnight Special, and he would wear the makeup and stuff.
Well, that's just one great reason to put him in that Hall of Fame.
Well, I'm just trying to Seattle audience on a radio show. That alone would get him in, I would think.
We didn't play Roxy music, but they've been nominated, too.
Wait, let's just a little more of this. Yes, absolutely.
He's also got the song Bang the Drum All Day, which is nice.
Yeah, no, of course he gets in. Okay, finally, here's the final one, Roxy Music.
And this can't be the final one.
It is.
Love it.
The artsy British band.
Formed by Brian Ferry.
Yeah.
I'm saying yes. This song just gets me in a good mood.
This is a great song, and the album cover is pretty fantastic, mm-hmm. if I'm thinking about the right one, Dory.
Okay.
Eh.
Nah. Even though...
Really? You're not going to play Janet or Radiohead?
Radiohead? Come on. They're in. They should have been in yesterday.
Radiohead is the most overrated band.
And Janet is up for her, like,
yeah, Janet Jackson, she gets nominated every year. She doesn't get in. I mean,
trying to come back.
Janet Jackson's got a pretty good catalog. Yeah, let's play the Radiohead. Overrated. Okay, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the news and lots of nonsense, too. The superintendent of public instruction is going to join us live. He wants a capital gains tax. Do you? It's coming up next. Well, if you were listening to the big show right at noon today, Ursula's lead story in her newscast at 12:03 made me blow a gasket at 12:06 when I started talking, because I heard our state school superintendent, Chris Rakedahl, is proposing a capital gains tax here in Washington, which is absolutely against the state constitution. And the superintendent of public instruction in the state, Chris Rakedahl, joins us live here on Cairo Radio. Mr. Superintendent, I appreciate you coming on with me.
I'm glad to be here. I'm sorry to blow your gasket. Let's chat.
You did. I'm leaking fluids right now because of my blown gasket. Okay, why propose something that is absolutely against our state constitution?
All right, let's talk facts, and then let's beat me up after that. Fact number one, the state property tax is too high, and we are proposing this thing to make sure we can reduce state property taxes and give everyone tax relief.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, a capital gains tax is not illegal. In fact, our Constitution doesn't say anything about that. In fact, an income tax, candidly, isn't illegal in this state. It's just limited to the regular property tax rates, and that's what was litigated in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an income tax. This is on passive income, and the Congress and the IRS even itemizes this as a different thing. So 50,000 households pay more when they sell stocks and bonds after the first $50,000 of gains are exempted.
Right.
And it gives everybody else, the other 4 million Washingtonians, property tax relief. So this is just a smarter way to do things and a smarter way to fund schools. And lastly, it kind of balances our portfolio. We're so dependent on sales tax and property tax that I'm worried that in the next recession, we won't be able to sustain the investments in our schools.
Okay, so now I'll start beating you up. Your points number 1 and 3 are irrelevant if it's unconstitutional. You said property taxes are too high. I agree with you on that. You say that it balances our portfolio. I haven't thought about that argument. But neither of those are relevant if it's unconstitutional. So your point number 2 is that it's not illegal. So let me go through our state constitution with you. And I agree with you that our state constitution does not specifically, explicitly ban in income tax. And I also agree with you that there was an amendment in 1930. And what it said is that all taxes, you cannot have a graduated income tax rate. And there's also a phrase in there, Mr. and Superintendent, that says the word property. I'll back up one line. All taxes shall be uniform upon the same classes of property. And then it defines property. The word property as used herein shall mean and include everything, whether tangible or intangible, subject to ownership. Do we own our profits from capital gains?
Yes, we do.
Okay, then it is property as defined in the amendment in our state constitution. And if it's then a property, then it has to be a tax at the same rate on everybody, and it cannot exceed 1%. And all of that is specifically spelled out in our state constitution.
It's your court interpretation. So what you've just established is there is no prohibition against this legally.
Wrong. Wrong. Because, no, what you just described to me was a graduated tax. You said you're going to exempt the first, whatever it was, $25,000, $50,000. You have to tax everybody. You have to tax the poorest person in our state at the exact same tax rate as Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. You cannot have graduated taxes. You cannot have exemptions. And it's capped at 1%.
That's not what the courts have said. Now, let's be clear about
that.
What,
who said?
You can exempt any amount of money you want on the bottom as long as the rate is the same. You can't have 8% for somebody and 6% for another. But the courts across the country have all said that exemptions on the bottom end are totally legal. That helps protect low-income and senior citizens and people, you know, making a small sale. So that has been clearly established law.
Okay, so tell me why, when Democrats in our state have been trying for a capital gains tax year after year after year, I can't remember the last year that a capital gains tax wasn't proposed. So tell me why it hasn't succeeded when we have a Democratic majority in our state. Because what we know is that courts have struck it down time and again. Every time a capital gains has gone before a court, it's been struck down by courts in our state. And the only way you can do it is if you have the voters approve a constitutional amendment that would allow that. And the voters have said no to an income tax, what, eight, nine times in our state. If what you claim is true, why don't we have it already in our state?
Well, I can't speak for former legislators. I'm telling you right now that our state property tax is too high and we've depended on it too much to fund schools.
But again, that's irrelevant.
We can legally offer a capital.
But that's irrelevant, okay, sir. If what you're proposing is unconstitutional.
I just told you it's not, Dory, and you acknowledge that it's not.
No, I didn't.
Based on case law. Now, we can disagree whether that rate is too high according to the legal framework, but you can absolutely tax capital gains, and everyone knows that's going to be the case. Somebody will litigate it, and they should. That is exactly how.
Well, it's been litigated many, many times, and courts have struck it down every time. How would we report
our litigated a capital gains tax in the state?
How would we report our capital gains to the state of Washington?
You already reported on your federal form in the State Department.
On what? On which federal form? On which federal form?
On your federal tax form.
What kind of tax form?
All of us who fill out
our 1040 income,
short or long term gain.
Our 1040 income tax form, right?
everyone who is subject to federal taxation fills out their tax form, and we all have
right.
a different one depending on our situation.
Well, no, it's your income tax form.
Gains and capital gains.
It's your income tax form, and what's been proposed in every capital gains proposal is that we would then have to submit our income tax form to Olympia, and you're trying to claim that this is not an income tax.
It is clearly not an income tax. Other states, 44 other states have this, including Oregon and Idaho. This is on passive gains, and it is a separate line on your federal form. So
wait a second.
Here's the deal I'll propose to you. Let's pass this. You can
no,
be
let's
named
not.
Plaintiff, and we'll settle whether a capital gains is an income tax, and I guarantee you a ticket to the Seahawks that I will win on this.
How many states have no income tax? Do you know?
I believe it's five or maybe up to seven.
There are seven. There are seven states with no income tax. How many of those seven states have a capital gains tax?
I don't know. All
zero.
Nine states,
I do know.
Have a capital gain.
Zero of a number of states that have no income tax have a capital gains tax. And that's because courts across the country have ruled that capital gains are income. It's money that we report on our 1040 federal income tax form, and it's quite telling, Mr. Superintendent, that no state without an income tax has a capital gains tax. Washington would be the first and only because you're trying to do something that is against our constitutional amendment here.
You just made it clear it is legal, but it's defined as property, and therefore it has limitations. So even your argument...
What?
Holds that a capital gains is a legal tax, it's just subject to property tax limitations. So it's legal, and that's a different debate than how much it should be.
Well, no, I'll go back to what I read to you at the beginning, that all taxes must be uniform on the same class of property, and property means and includes everything. And so what you're trying to, I mean, I know what's going on here, but because, as I've said, income tax is the holy grail of Democrats in our state. They're trying to find any way they can to get the door open a tiny crack. It would be unprecedented. No state has ever done this. And but I understand the motivation behind it. I just think that it's, and look, I love debates like this, and I love the fact that you're willing to come on and go toe-to-toe with me on this. But
I will always come on, by the way.
I really appreciate that.
Have this bigger debate.
I love that about you, and I love that we can both present this to my listeners and let them decide. But would you acknowledge that you're trying to do something that no state has ever done?
Well, I don't know. Based on your fact pattern, that sounds to be true, but I want to research the seven other states and see what they have, because they might call it something else. So I will give you your fact as you know it, and I will do the follow-up research.
Okay. Sure. And my closing argument, if you go to taxpolicycenter.org, they say, how are capital gains taxed? Capital gains are profits from the sale of a capital asset. Capital gains are included in taxable income. This would be a backdoor income tax in our state. Tell you what, if you get this proposal, how about instead of the Seahawks tickets, how about you and I make a wager on whether the courts uphold it?
Is a good one. I am ready to go with that. It turns out you have some pretty decent access, I understand, to the Seahawks game, so that's not a very good wager.
Yeah, so
a hot chocolate.
How about $1,000 to the charity of the winner's choice if your proposal goes before the courts?
Man, see what you're doing? You're playing the income difference, okay? I guarantee Dory Monson makes more than Chris Rakedale, but I am in,
if
we can get this to the court.
If you're right, then you're just giving me odds.
That's exactly right.
Look, I mean it. I love that you're willing to come on, go head-to-head on stuff like this. These are important issues, and I appreciate you taking the time.
I really appreciate it, Dory. Thank you.
All right. State School Superintendent Chris Rakedale joining us. Okay, I want to know what you think. You just heard both of us present our arguments. You be the jury. Text me, the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. That's 98973. Jeez, I didn't even know I was going to be talking about this today. Ursula blindsides me with the news story at 12:03. Jeez. This job ain't easy. Okay, I'd love to hear your thoughts. 98973, lots more to come on the Dory Monson Show. down in Southwest Washington, Johnny McKay. He was out at a bar, and he didn't want to drive after drinking, so he left his truck at the bar. He was shocked when he went back to retrieve it the next day because his truck had been completely consumed by fire.
It just took me by surprise. It blew me away. I just can't explain. I feel violated.
He talked to KGW in Portland, and a guy who lived next door to this where the truck was heard the explosion.
I was asleep on my couch. It had been like 2:30, and then all of a sudden I hear a loud boom and the windows shake.
So why would... And the truck was completely melted down. It was a total loss for the guy.
It was completely melted. The light bar on top was liquefied. It was just bad.
So why would somebody have torched this guy's truck? Well, he had a couple of Donald Trump bumper stickers. He didn't even vote for Trump. He had a Trump 2020 Keep America Great sticker. He thinks that is why.
Well, they found the truck, it had Trump and spray paint
somebody
written on it.
Across the side after it had burned, spray painted in huge white letters, Trump. And he thinks that's pretty obvious why he was targeted.
And I did reach out to him and I was trying to find him. I haven't heard back from him, but I called the bar to see if they could help me.
Yeah.
And the woman said, I asked, can you help me get in touch with him? And she said, nope, and hung up on me. So I kind of think they should look into her as a suspect.
Wow. So here's Johnny.
There were two. There was one that said Trump 2020, make liberals cry again. And the other one was Trump 2020, keep America great.
And so this is just kind of an extension of the derangement syndrome that we've seen, especially the last few, couple of years, really. But, think about this. A guy loses his truck because of his bumper sticker. Can you imagine if people were torching, vehicles that still had Hillary or Bernie Sanders bumper stickers?
People just need to relax. They need to, the world's not going to stop turning because somebody's in office that you don't like.
Yep. But that's the way the world is right now. And in fact, big lead at two, I have some audio that's going to blow your mind about how the streets of our city to the south, Portland, were taken over by Antifa. And wait till you hear the audio that's coming up next in the big lead on the Dory Monson Show.